Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson. That's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Anonymous.
Hi, Ben and Nathan. I've watched around 100 episodes of the podcast, but I've never heard you talk about transactional law. If I am strictly interested in transactional law, that is mergers and acquisitions, capital markets, banking, is law school worth the risk? I say that because these practice areas are almost exclusively done in big law, and big law is only truly guaranteed at places like Yale, Harvard, and Stanford. The other T14 schools place well in big law, obviously, but it is not a guaranteed thing. For me, though, it looks to be big law or bust, since the type of law I want to practice is done at these firms. I suppose another question arises is this: should one go to law if they have no interest in being a litigator? It seems way too risky to go to law school without being interested in litigation, since most law students become litigators, which is why I have not fully committed to the idea. Just wondering what your thoughts on this are. Thank you, Anonymous. Sounds like me when I was going to law school. I thought I would never, ever, ever want to be a litigator. I was like really uninterested in crim.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm never doing crim law.
You thought that before you went to law school, or you thought that once you were in law school?
No, I thought that before I went to law school. I was like, no, I want to do, I thought I wanted to do, you know, like business. I'm sure that Anonymous is more sophisticated than I was when I went to law school, because, you know, they're saying I want to do transactional, specifically M&A, capital markets, banking. They probably have a background in this type of thing and seems like they kind of have an idea what they're getting themselves into. They've also looked up placement in this and want to do big law. I mean, I didn't want to do big law either. I was just like, yeah, I don't know, but I definitely don't want to do litigation. Because before I started LSAT teaching, I was like a real shy public speaker.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, no, my God, I can't imagine getting up in court and talking.
Yeah, that's interesting. So as you were reading this, I was thinking about transactional law. And when I was doing legal writing consulting with Ross Guberman, the impression I had was that basically half of the legal world is transactional and the other half is litigation. And if anything, litigation may be smaller than transactional. So transactional is creating the contracts before problems occur. Mm-hmm. And litigation is cleaning up the mess when problems do occur, right? So transactional attorneys, yeah.
Well, you're right, but you're talking about in the context of big law, right? Like half of what's done in law firms, or maybe you were in medium firms or whatever, but it's what you're ignoring there is all these lawyers who end up practicing, I think specifically criminal law. When Anonymous says that most lawyers end up being litigators, I think that they have data to back that up. And I think that that might be true in real life, because every DA's office and every public defender's office in every city and county in the entire country, that's just full of litigators. And I do think that it's easier to get those jobs than it is to get the big law jobs. And I have a feeling that the majority, it might be a simple majority, but I have a feeling that the majority, because there also is litigation within the firms.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not so sure. I don't know the market. That was just my sense, in part because, I mean, there's also a lot of attorneys who do that kind of work, right? Like wills, trusts, and estates. This is anticipatory. I don't know the ratios, but I think there's a lot of, it's still a very big, right, area of law. What may be more narrow is specifically M&A, capital markets, and banking. That's going to be, if that's really what you're, that's not just transactional law. That's a very narrow subset of transactional law.
Yeah. And worth pointing out that there are, like, you could be a family lawyer and the majority of what you do is maybe not going to be litigation.
Yeah. You're drafting agreements to try to avoid litigation.
Yeah. Like, I would think that the vast majority of divorces are negotiated settlements, not litigated divorces.
Yeah.
Right. So even in family law, you're probably unlikely to be spending a whole hell of a lot of time in court. But I think when anonymous says transactional law, yeah, I think that they mean M&A, capital markets, and banking. If that's the type of work they want to do, I think that that is probably done almost exclusively in big law.
Yeah. So that said, I mean, I agree that big law is much more likely for students who go to Yale, Harvard, and Stanford, but it's not necessarily unlikely at still these top schools, especially if you go on a scholarship, because you're just more a full scholarship, you're much more likely to be at the top.
Yeah, as you
and
fall
you're also
in the rankings.
Your risk. Yeah.
Yeah. As you fall in the rankings, your big law placement odds for the whole student population are lower. But if you're the valedictorian, your big law placement is like 100%.
Yeah. And you don't even have to be valedictorian. Say that word again.
A valedictorian.
Valedictorian. You don't have to be that, right? Because you just have to be in the top 10, 20% of the class, which is more likely if you got a full ride scholarship. And
absolutely,
you're not paying that much money, so your risk is a lot lower. So I agree. I think it's great that you're thinking about the risk in a way that a lot of people don't. At the same time, I would just realize that you can minimize the risk by dropping the price and then increasing your chances of success by dropping the price. Both things happen at the same time.
Totally. Totally. Do you think that Anonymous should go to law school?
I mean, if they're serious about M&A, capital markets, and banking, and they know what that kind of law is, and that's what they want to do, then I don't have a problem with the fact that they're not interested in litigation.
Just know that you will have to get an A in your criminal law class.
Yeah, but see, it's funny because I don't even see that as like litigation. There's like litigation, which is specifically the skills associated with that, right? Like trial advocacy and so forth.
Yeah, you probably don't ever have to take trial ad.
Yeah.
You will have to take civil procedure. There are hoops that you're going to have to jump through, especially in your 1L year. There are classes that you're going to have to take that you're like, I don't give a shit about this. Are you kidding me? You know, like torts, really? I have to study assault and battery, or I have to study negligence even. Like, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in mergers and acquisitions. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you're interested in. It's an academic competition with the purpose of ranking you so that the big firms know who the ballers are so that they can hire those people. So you just want to, like, if you're going to do this, if you're going to go big law or bust, then I agree that higher ranked schools have better big law placement. You should also, though, acknowledge that if you're a big fish in a small pond, as you slide down the top 14 and even outside the top 14, the big fish in the small ponds do get recruited by big law. And even at a school like, you know, Hastings or whatever, you're ranked 50th approximately in the country. There was on-campus interviewing from big law firms. They just only interviewed the top 15 or 25% of the class, or 10% of the class in some cases. And there were some firms that wouldn't hire at Hastings because they were only across the bay at Berkeley. And I'm sure there are firms that don't even hire at Berkeley because they only hire from Stanford.
Yeah.
And so you just need to realize that whatever you do, you're going to have to kill it at your school unless you go to Harvard, Stanford, Yale. I think you're right that big law is probably guaranteed at Harvard, Yale, Stanford. You get into Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and you graduate, there's probably a big law job for you if you want it. But that's not going to be true at UCLA even. At UCLA, you're going to have to excel, or you're going to have to at least finish in the top half of the class or whatever their big law placement ratio is. But if you're truly dedicated to big law, and if you're committed to, okay, whether regardless of my interests, I'm going to put my interests aside and I'm going to get an A in this crim law class or kill it in moot court competition team, even though I'm never going to do appellate stuff. You know, if you find ways to stand out mostly via getting great grades, then you can find your way into big law if that's something that you really want to do.
I have a question for you. I do feel like this listener is too concerned about the risk side of the equation, or the I guess in the risk equation, they're too concerned about whether or not they're going to get a job from that school. But if you could go to like Michigan for free or UVA for free versus Harvard, yeah, maybe your chances for getting into Big Law drop. But I think that you're now getting the upside of not paying any money.
Yeah, you're a great candidate. You're a great candidate to outperform at those schools. If you're at UCLA on a full ride, then you're a great candidate to finish in the top 25% of the class or whatever that you would then get you comfortably into Big Law.
You can also quit law school and have not lost that much money.
After just 1 year. I love this tip that you can go to law school. You know, like your friends and family will think you're crazy. I bet nobody ever does this. I mean, I've seen people drop out of law school. When I was in law school, we lost a few people. And I think every 1L class loses a few people. But that, you know, that you have to be like kind of tough-minded. Yeah. You could take a scholarship, and then if you do poorly in your 1L year, you might lose your scholarship at some schools. Sure. Or you just hate it like I did. Then, yeah, you absolutely should drop out. And so that limits the risk, right? You're not committing to 3 years. You're only committing to 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
And you're actually only committing to one semester at a time. I think you pay your tuition one semester at a time. Hmm. So you, at most schools anyway. So I think the risk, and of course, as we always talk about, the risk is significantly diminished if you get yourself a scholarship. Then at least you're not paying money to go there.
Yep. You can find out more about scholarships at lsatdemon.com/scholarships. Thanks for writing in. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news.